Let us pray, shall we? You know, 1 John 5:14 tells us, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Father, Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're asking to reveal to your people any misinterpretation of Scripture or adherence to false doctrine that might be hindering our walk of faith and prayer power. And we're asking, Father God, to glorify yourself and Jesus Christ during this election cycle for our nation. And Heavenly Father, we lift up before your very throne the Supreme Court of the United States, place them into your hands. We ask God to grant them the wisdom, the integrity, the courage to these justices as they deliberate on matters of great importance. We ask Father God to shield them from any harm and guide their hearts to seek justice and truth. And Lord, may their decisions reflect your righteousness and bring peace and fairness to our nation. Father, we pray asking God to diminish the effectiveness of the spirit of Antichrist that's operating in the churches, at all echelons of government, corporate systems of America, and the nations of the world, including this upcoming election. And Father, I pray asking to penetrate the darkness and the deception of the sodomite community, the transgender community. Penetrate them, Father God, with the love and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray asking God to place in office as President of the United States that individual that you can use most effectively for the kingdom of God in this nation. We pray this, Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Now I pray, Father God, to anoint me as I bring this Bible study tonight. Anoint me, Father God, to speak those words you'd have me to speak. Don't allow me to say anything, Father God, that I shouldn't be bringing. So anoint me, Holy Spirit. Anoint these who hear the message, this Bible study tonight, God, that they would ever increase in knowledge and wisdom and understanding of your word through these studies. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, folks, some of those items that I just prayed are some of the items that we prayed Sunday evening in our concerts of prayer. And that's where that prayer was taken from, a much needed time and timely prayer for the days that we are living. So keep our nation lifted before the Lord. Always remember, God is in control. But talk to God about our nation. Talk to God about everything. As we get into this lesson tonight, the 7th of August, 2024 already, and my, isn't the time just zipping by. The life and times of the Apostle Peter. This is part 22, taken from 1 Peter chapter 2. I'll be reading from verse 4 through verse 10 in the New King James Version. Here we go. "Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy." You know, in John chapter 14, verse 2, Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Did you know that God is building a building? A building here on this earth? And you and I are in it. Tonight we're going to look at these verses, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. We're going to look at the foundation, which is Christ, the building, which is you and I, the children of God. We're going to look at the blueprint. With every building program, folks, there's got to be a blueprint laying out the standards of how this building will be built. But first, let's look at the foundation. Verse 4. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. That term there, coming to him as to a living stone. Well, in this analogy that Peter is using here to describe a building, but it's a building not like the building that you and I know of, like a building of a stone structure, but this building is a building that's not made by hand. But in the time of Christ, there were lots of buildings. There was the temple building, magnificent building, and they were made from stone. Stone is the most natural abundant resources in the land of Israel during that time and at that time, and also in many parts and regions of the Mideastern world. I can remember when I was stationed in Sicily for 3 years that some of those buildings that were built in and around that island were ancient buildings, some of them over 2,000 years old. Some of them were built before the time of Christ, and yet they're still standing. They were built of stone. You wouldn't see any 2x4s, 2x6s, 2x12s. No, they were built by stone, and they were built to last. Peter describes this in verse 4 as a living stone, coming to him as to a living stone. What is a living stone? A living stone sounds almost like a contradiction, doesn't it? A stone, how's a stone a living stone? You may have heard the terms before, stone cold dead. But stone, this living stone, the living rock or the stone, has all the strength and the solidarity of the stone or the rock. But why is it alive, this living stone? Well, because the rock being referred to here is Jesus Christ himself. And he died and was raised from the dead. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I had the keys to Hades and death. So Peter calls Jesus here this living stone. In 1 Corinthians 10:3, Paul, the apostle, he says in 1 Corinthians 10:3, all ate the same spiritual food. In verse 5, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. In chapter 1 of 1 Peter, in verse 3, Peter refers to hope as a living hope. And when he spoke about the Word of God, he spoke it in reference to the living Word of God. And now he's speaking to us, he speaks of a living stone. And Peter goes on to say in verse 6, and he describes it in as a different type of stone, the cornerstone. In ancient stone building structures, the cornerstone was one of the most important stones in the entire structure. It set the angles for the rest of the building to be built. The cornerstone was set at the foundation at the base, and it was typically the largest and the heaviest stones because they did form the footing for the building. So think about that. They didn't lay a concrete slab and then put the cornerstone on it at that time. They laid this heavy, humongous stone that was hewn and cut out of stone. The cornerstone at the temple complex at Jerusalem is still there in the southeast corner of Jerusalem. Picture this. This cornerstone that we used for the temple structure in Jerusalem, it measures 39 feet long, 39 feet 4 inches long. Got the picture? 7 feet 10 inches wide, it's almost 8 feet wide, and 43 inches tall. For comparison, 48 inches is 4 foot. So it was almost 4 foot tall. Almost 40 foot long, almost 8 feet wide, and almost 4 feet tall. That's a humongous stone, folks. And that one stone, they say, weighs 80 tons. One ton is equal to 2,000 pounds. Therefore, that would mean that that one stone, that cornerstone that the temple was built upon in Jerusalem, weighed 160,000 pounds. And they say that's not the biggest stone there either. They even found other stones about 15 feet wide, 11 feet tall, weighing up to 600 tons. That's massive stones, folks. But this cornerstone, the cornerstone is what that foundation stone laid at that corner. It provided not only the foundation, but it provides symmetry, measurement for the rest of the structure. It set the direction for all sides of that building. If the angle of the cornerstone or any angles of the walls were off, then the whole building would be off. So that cornerstone had to be set in exact measurement. It couldn't be off anyway. If so, then the building would be off. The cornerstone, it was a reference point for the whole building. Like I say, it also became the foundation, the cornerstone, because it was wide, it was flat, and there's no need for a concrete slab to be poured. But this became the footer, the foundation, this humongous stone. And there had to be a lot of planning, pre-planning, thought, blueprints. And once the stone was set in place, it was set in place. It would remain for the life of that building, or may remain for the life. The building could be destroyed, but that cornerstone would still remain. Peter describes Jesus as the living cornerstone, the foundation on which everything is laid. Jesus is the cornerstone. Notice in verse 4, it says, coming to him, the term is used by Jesus in Matthew 11:28, when he said, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Jesus says. We use this term often describing coming to Christ or coming to the faith in Christ. That's where it all begins, isn't it, folks? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and coming to him. So here, God has his building program. It's going on here on the earth, but you can't see it. But visualize this. God has a building program. It's been going on since the beginning. You and I enter into his building program when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. That's where it all starts. This building, the building is us, me and you, those who have been bought and purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:5 says, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So how do we become one of these living stones? Well, when you and I come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we became a living stone. You become like Christ Jesus. The point that Peter is making here is that when you come to Jesus Christ, you become a living stone in that you become like Jesus Christ, starting to follow him, and you become more and more like him. There was a quote from C.S. Lewis where he said, every Christian is to become a little Christ. And the whole purpose of being a Christian is simply nothing else, but that is to become like Christ, become a little Christ. So Peter goes on with his point here to referring to this stone is alive, referring to Christ. And when you come to him, it's not like you're coming like a dead animated rock anymore, but you come to him, you're alive yourself. You share his life. You share his strength because you're a living stone. Can Jesus point to you, to I, and say, these are the stones of the building that I am building. They are living stone. Do you know that Christianity is the only belief system where the life of the one that we worship becomes our life? The New Testament repeatedly speaks of us as being in Christ. Colossians 3:4 tells us, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Won't that be a glorious time, folks? When Jesus Christ appears, we're going to be with him in glory. Peter tells us in 2 Peter, not 1 Peter, 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So when we come to him and we become like him, that's Jesus, sharing his nature, his divine nature, in the life and the strength that is in Jesus himself. That's right. We don't have two natures. We are now living in Jesus Christ, becoming like him, and we have the divine nature of God in us. The old man was crucified, put to death, along with that old nature. And you may say, well, if that old nature is gone, why do I sin? Same way Adam and Eve sinned, an exercise of your will. Back to verse 5 as we continue on. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. As living stones are being built up in the spiritual house. That phrase there, as living stones are being built up in a spiritual house. Think about that. You came to the Lord Jesus Christ. You now had the divine nature of God in you. You have become the temple, a temple not made by hands. You have the Holy Spirit of God living and dwelling in you. You are one of these building blocks that Christ is using to build this temple not made by hands on this earth that we are living in now. And he fits us together within the kingdom of God, into this spiritual building that he is building. Imagine, if you can, that you're a block. And let's say you're invisible. You're not seen, but Jesus is building the block. He starts with the cornerstone, which is his himself, and lays that first stone. You're that stone. And then someone else is added to the kingdom of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sets them beside you. And before you know it, there is a spiritual house being built here on this earth that can't be seen with naked eye, but it's a building just the same. It's a spiritual building. That's what we're a part of, folks. Think of everything that you've heard thus far. We have found that the foundation is Jesus Christ. He sets the angles. He gives the direction. And he is all about building people up. God is not about property and temples, for the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. He dwells in you, folks. He dwells in me. This is the temple God has made. This temple, this body that he's given us, that is the temple he now lives in. Paul said that, but he does build a people, and Peter is making a point here that there is this spiritual house. Verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Did you ever consider you're a special person? You're God's own special person. He called you personally. You're his own special people. We're his own special people. And Peter's telling those people in Asia there that's been scattered all over the place, hey, you're God's own special people. And you can proclaim the praises of him because he's taking you out of this darkness, put you into his marvelous light. Verse 10, he goes on to say, who was not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now obtain mercy. Now that they've come into the house, that spiritual house, through Jesus Christ, they have become a people that before Christ, there was no mercy. But now they have attained this mercy. God is far more concerned about building up people, folks, than any building project or any property. Hebrews 3, verse 6 tells us, but Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:9, for now we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. God builds up his kingdom by using people, and he's not done yet. Every time a person comes to Christ, another stone is added. And it's a continual building program, isn't it? It's a spiritual house. There's a holy priesthood offering up spiritual sacrifices. Please don't misunderstand the point that Peter is making here. We don't go to the temple. We are the temple. We don't come through a priest. We are the priest. It's a spiritual house, and we have access like the priest. But also, our responsibility is to be holy like those priests were to be. So these spiritual sacrifices, what kind of spiritual sacrifices would you and I be offering? Well, one I can think of right off is our bodies. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. How do I present my body as a living sacrifice? My hands, my feet, my mouth. Here they are, God. I sacrifice them to you for your purpose. That's a living sacrifice, folks, where you've given yourself over to whatever God wants to use you for. And you use what God has given you to make that happen. Your hands, your feet, your mouth. A living sacrifice is much harder than a dead sacrifice, isn't it? A living sacrifice has a tendency to want to squirm off the altar. Oh, Lord, I give you my life as a living sacrifice. Next day, I'm having second thoughts. Father, I don't know if I can live up to that or not. That commitment. Get back up on the altar. You're a living sacrifice. Live it out. There's another type of sacrifice we find in the Word, and that's a sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Do you feel like worshiping God all the time? Giving praise and worship to Him? Don't lie, okay? There are times when we just don't feel like worshiping God, isn't there? Have you ever felt that way? That is the time that you do it anyway. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. Give Him honor. Well, I just don't feel like it. I just don't feel like it. Well, do it anyway. That's when it becomes a sacrifice, when you don't feel like doing it. Look at this, Hebrews 13:16. Good works and sharing with people, living sacrifice. But do not forget to do good and share, God is saying. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is pleased when you do good for others, or you do something good, not for yourself, but for others, and you share. Not for any praise or uplifting or anything, but you just do it from the goodness of your heart because that's who you are and you do it. God is well pleased with that type of action. How about financial giving into God's kingdom and His work? Philippians chapter 4, 18c says, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing unto God. And you may say, well, Pastor Gene, what are you talking about, Philippians 4:18c? Well, when I say Philippians 4:18c, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about here. Philippians 4:18 goes as follows. Indeed, I have all and bound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Basically, what's happening, they use alphabet letters starting with A, B, and C, and they break down the sentences within a verse. In other words, this, I am full, having received, then the word Epaphroditus, the thing sent from you. That's A. B is a sweet-smelling aroma. C is an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. So if I was to say, look at Philippians 4:18b, and many of your Bibles are annotated this way, B would be a sweet-smelling aroma. 4:18c is an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Let's go on. So we are spiritual priesthood. Have you ever thought of yourself as being a priest? Well, you are. You're in a priesthood. You're in a spiritual priesthood, a spiritual house with a spiritual living stones, others just like you, being built together solidly on the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. And you say, well, I'm a spiritual stone, but some of them stones that's here with me, I don't like. It's okay. It's okay. Some of these stones you may not see eye to eye on scriptures, but they're still a spiritual stone, folks. Don't lose fact of that. You may say, but we're being built up together. That's true. This spiritual house that God is building, it may be full of charismatics. It may be full of Baptists. It may be full of Methodists. It may be full of all kinds of God's people that you don't see eye to eye with. You may not like some of them, but you're going to be in heaven together as a people that you don't agree with. Have you ever thought about that? But the great thing about it is, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're all going to be changed. So all of the differences, all of the stuff is not going to make a hill of beans, folks. It's not going to matter because we are going to be changed. We're going to be made perfect with Jesus Christ. So we're a family, a spiritual family. And in families here on this earth, in the natural, they don't always get along. Some are loud. Some are boisterous. Some of them you don't like to be around. Some of them, they just get on your nerves. But they're still your family. You know, you may be in heaven with pre-trib, post-trib, charismatic, premillennialist, amillennialist. And the list goes on and on and on. But we're going to be in heaven together, okay? God is going to change us. And I'm glad it's God doing it and not me. But we'll all be changed in a twinkling of an eye. So all of the stuff that aggravates you and agitates you, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter, does it? Because in the end, we're all going to be one in the Lord Jesus Christ, in spirit, with the heavenly body that he gives. Well, with any building program, there has to be blueprints. 1 Peter 2:6-8. Verse 6 says, "Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame.'" Verse 7, "Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." The picture that Peter is painting here to these who have been spread about here in Asia Minor is that those religious leaders, these self-imposed builders of God's kingdom on earth, the Sanhedrin, these religious leaders of that time of Christ, they surveyed and took out their measuring rod, their measuring instruments of their own religious system, to see if this one called Jesus measured up to their imposed standards. After all, they were the keepers or the caretakers of this religious system. The self-imposed builders of God's work on earth, the Sanhedrin, they checked and they assessed that this one called Jesus Christ, he was not the Messiah. They rejected him as a cornerstone, saying, he's not qualified. He doesn't pass our calculation, our assessment. They totally rejected Jesus Christ, that he would be the cornerstone on which God would build everything. And they rejected him. Not only did they reject Jesus Christ, they killed him. And what they did 2,000 years ago, people are still doing today. People of today, they look Jesus over, they think about him, and then most people reject him. They're rejecting him as the one that they should build their lives upon. But they will build their lives upon something different, something other than Jesus Christ. Some will build their lives upon someone else, some superstar, some rock star, some ideology, some religion, but not Jesus. So he is rejected. The real builder is God. The real builder, God. And Peter wants us to know this. God also has a measuring line, a standard. God looked Jesus over at him, at this cornerstone. He said, "I approve. I approve. This is my son, my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." God said this in Luke chapter 3, verse 22, where he said, "And the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily form like a dove upon him." That's Jesus. The dove being the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus. "And a voice came from heaven which said, 'You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Remember Peter back in Acts chapter 4, verse 10, where he said this. He said, "Let it be known to you," and he's talking to these religious leadership, the Sanhedrin and all of the high priests and the scribes and all of those. He said, "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people in Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead by him, this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone." Verse 12 of Acts chapter 4. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men, and by which we must be saved." And Peter says in verse 8, "And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense." they stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they were appointed. And in verse 9 and 10, Peter says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." So, Peter is saying to the people, you know, you are that building that God has spoken about throughout all of the Old Testament prophets. God spoke about it then through them. And now we, in this time that we are living in, are enjoying this building, not made by hands. He has laid that cornerstone. He is the cornerstone. And we are, like little Christ, we have become the spiritual building that he is building. We're a part of it. So glory be to God on the highest, that through Jesus Christ, through that blood that was shed on the cross at Calvary, we have become part of Christ. We have become adopted into the family. We have become that living stone, like little Christ. We have become heirs to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have become the living stone that Jesus is using here on this earth to build a spiritual temple. We, in the flesh, have become the temple of Almighty God, with the Spirit of Almighty God living and dwelling in us. And it all happened because of the love of God for his creation and through the sacrifice of his only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, on a cross at Jerusalem, at Calvary, where his blood was shed to atone for sinful man's sins, that sinful man could be reconciled to holy God through the sacrifice of his only Son. And now we have been made living stones as part of a building here on this earth, not made by hands, can't be seen with the natural eye, but it's a spiritual house, a spiritual building. And every individual that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ becomes a living stone in the kingdom of God. One day, this kingdom will be transformed from this earth to the Lord God Almighty in heaven, where he has prepared a place for us. So glory be to God on the highest. I hope that you have gleaned some nuggets that you can take and grow from. Been Pastor Gene Howard. Thank you for allowing me to bring this Bible study to you tonight. Until we meet again, God bless you real good. Good night.